Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. While getting the most out of your crop requires an integrated approach that also gets the most out of the products you use in your fields. Ensuring your products are effective not only helps the crop, but helps prevent additional steps down the road. One way to do so is making sure your spray water isn't costing you money by degrading your tank-mixed products. Jim Smart, Ag Spectrum Research and Training Agronomist, and a Kansas farmer, says effective spray applications start with properly conditioned water.
Many of our sources of spray water contain hard water or contaminants that may degrade the pesticides or make them less effective. So if we can treat the water, we can get much better effect out of the herbicides.
Smart says water pH impacts herbicide efficacy and can degrade the products in the tank.
Well, one of the things about pH, most of our tap water has a pH of 7, 8 to 8 to meet the clean water drinking standards. However, that means it contains some elements like calcium and magnesium in that water to make it the high pH. Minerals in the water also tend to tie up or degrade pesticides, and they can cause alkaline hydrolysis of the pesticides. One of the things that we try to do is lower the pH so we will not have our pesticides degrading before they even get applied.
He says most chemicals will be absorbed quicker by the plant in an acidic pH.
There's a couple exceptions, and those are with dicamba. But almost all of the other chemicals, whether they're fungicides, insecticides, miticides, or herbicides, you get the best absorption through plant leaves in an acidic pH. One of the best ways we can do that is treating our water before we add the chemicals into the water so that the water has a slightly acidic pH.
Smart adds it's important to read the label on all products you plan on using as they will best guide you to how to make the most effective application.
Almost every label will have a line or two that requires that you use a surfactant or conditioning agent to help with penetration. And one of the things farmers worry about is it going to rain in 1 hour or 2 hours? And will the pesticide wash off before it ever absorbs? And if we can increase the absorption with these water conditioners, we can get 85% absorption with most pesticides within an hour. So that's a good thing for producers because they don't have to worry about it washing off as quickly.
Again, that's Jim Smart, Ag Spectrum Research and Training Agronomist, and a Kansas farmer, talking about getting the most out of your spray applications. Enrollment is open for cotton growers to the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol for the 2021 cotton crop. Existing members will also need to re-enroll their operations. The U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol sets a new standard for more sustainably grown cotton amid a greater demand for transparency. Ted Schneider, U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol board member and a Louisiana cotton farmer, says enrollment is simple and easy.
It's easy. It only takes a few steps. You would visit our website, trustuscotton.org, and you would register your operation. There's a self-assessment that you have to complete. At the end of the year, or as your year goes along, you enter your practices into the field of market. It all probably takes about 2 hours during the course of the year.
Schneider says the protocol brings verifiable goals and measurement to sustainable cotton production, something that customers of U.S. Cotton seek.
It enables our customers to better hear our sustainability story, and we have a great story to tell. And if we don't tell our story, there are others out there who do tell our story. The best people to tell our story is us. We grow the crop. We live on our farms. The producers need to take control of that narrative and be proud to tell our story. That's what the trust protocol allows a producer to do.
The customers of U.S. Cotton are under pressure by their consumers to prove the products they source are produced sustainably.
We've had quite a few brand and retail members sign up, including a U.S. company, The Gap, and its collection of brands, Old Navy, Gap, Banana Republic, and Athleta. And we have 200 global mills and manufacturer members, including the first 10 U.S. mills and first members in Latin America. So the brands and retailers have been involved in the development of this protocol from day one.
The program was designed as to not be a burden on cotton growers, starting with the self-assessment.
We view ourselves in our small community as cotton farmers, but we're not. We're a member of a supply chain of the apparel industry, which is much, much bigger. They're our customers, and we need to meet the needs of our customers, and this protocol will help us to do that.
He adds that the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol is valuable for the entire U.S. cotton supply chain.
The U.S. Trust Protocol will use only U.S. cotton, and the use of the self-assessment and the use of field market will create data and statistics that will prove to our industry members that we are actually very sustainable. We feel like that we're the most sustainable cotton grown in the world.
Growers can follow the protocol on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can contact the protocol by emailing growers@trustuscotton.org. Visit the website to sign up or learn more. Again, trustuscotton.org. Fertilizer prices are up dramatically this spring, increasing input costs for growers. Data from the Department of Agriculture shows prices are up between 17 and 57% since the fall. David Widmar of Agricultural Economic Insights says that while nitrogen often gets the most attention, phosphorus prices are up the most, and hydrous ammonia and urea are up 37% from the fall, but considerably smaller increases over spring 2020. Meanwhile, liquid nitrogen prices are only up 9% over last year, but 20% higher than last fall. The increase in fertilizer prices means fertilizer expenses are up $29 per acre than last spring, or 30% higher. However, Widmar notes, the increases follow a strong downturn a year ago, adding prices are up from historic lows and, for the most part, remain well below the levels of 2011-2014. The exception, however, is phosphorus fertilizer, up 51% compared to last fall. And Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has said that Mexico's ban on imported genetically modified corn would apply to human food products, not livestock feed. That understanding was revealed following recent talks between Vilsack and his Mexican counterpart. Vilsack says limiting the ban is a relief for U.S. farmers, saying it's not going to have as great an impact as it would if it was everything all at once, all now. Vilsack says U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai has also addressed the plan with Mexico and that there is a process under the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement for raising such issues, according to Reuters. Late last year, Mexico published an executive order seeking to ban the use of GMO corn for human consumption, but did not define the products included in the ban. Mexico pledged to substitute imports of GMO corn with local production by 2024. Mexico imported around 16 million metric tons of mostly GMO corn in 2020. And this has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. If you have stories for the program, you can email them to me at jessealan@americanagnetwork.com. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.